Hello, welcome to Show Talk with Angela Butler. I am, of course, Angela Butler. Today's interview is with Mr. Richard Muhammad, who is the current editor-in-chief of the Final Call magazine, which he writes with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. How are you, Mr. Muhammad?
I'm fine, sister. Assalamu alaikum. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing okay. It's an honor to have you on Show Talk.
Well, sister, it's an honor to be on your show, and we're always grateful to have the opportunity to share what we have been taught of the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan as part of our constant and consistent effort to enlighten, uplift, and resurrect our people.
So you're the current editor of the Final Call since 2009, am I correct?
That's correct.
And you're also a member of the Nation of Islam?
Yes, ma'am, that's true as well. I have been since about 1987.
Okay, all right. So, but you also have a marketing company called Straight Words Communications.
For a few years, I actually left the Final Call, and I was worked for some couple nonprofits, and then I did some media consulting. So, Straight Words is my media consulting business that kind of been put on hold while I have focused on the Final Call.
The Final Call. Okay, so what is it like working with the Honorable Minister Elijah Farrakhan?
Well, it's really an incredible almost unbelievable experience. When I came into the nation, I came through the doors just like we all come into the mosque. There was no executive suite or shortcut that led to my becoming editor. I just came in as someone seeking the truth and someone seeking to help uplift our people. And I came into the mosque and became a quote-unquote official member of the nation and joined the men in the Fruit of Islam and started trying to contribute in different ways. I was blessed to meet our editor at that time, the late Abdul Wali Muhammad, who essentially recruited me, inspired me, infected me with his vision of a national black newspaper that would represent the nation, represent our people, represent the menace, and an entity that would be a champion in our struggles. So I started there, and here I am some 30 years later.
30 years later, okay. So, would you like to talk about the Final Call? Because I believe it's the only nationally distributed weekly newspaper in Black America.
Right, we are the only independent, nationally distributed weekly newspaper in Black America. So, our purpose is to serve the Nation of Islam in its broadest sense, and that includes all of the black people in America, regardless of what they call themselves. It includes our Native American brothers and sisters, and even those who might refer to themselves as Latinos. Our mission is the resurrection of our people, the moral, spiritual, economic, social, intellectual resurrection, bringing us back to life as a people, bringing us out of the grip of Satan, and undoing the destruction and undoing the depth of damage that has been imposed on us, in particular black people, for 400 years. And so we are that voice, that outlet. So we carry, of course, news where we seek to inform our people, where we seek to show and prove to them the reality of what is happening in the world that bears witness to the truth We carry the words of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad every week and a special article, generally taken from one of his books, and a second article called How to Eat to Live, which deals with diet and fasting and those things that make us physically healthy. And we're very proud to say that every week we are able to offer to our people words from the Minister Farrakhan in a center spread that are always inspiring, that are always thought-provoking, that are always words that can be used to improve and transform our lives. We also have a very vibrant social media and internet presence. So you can find us at finalcall.com. You can also follow us on Twitter. And you can follow me, and of course you can follow Minister Farrakhan on Twitter as well. And his Twitter handle is at Louis Farrakhan.
The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, isn't he also on YouTube?
Very much so. Strong YouTube presence. And you can get his videos at NOI.org, and you can also get his videos at finalcall.com.
Okay. So you're talking about morals, spirituality, eating. When you talk about eating, are you referring to something similar to the vegetarians, such as fast, and as what other people believe in, including myself, fasting?
Well, absolutely. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad started teaching in the 1930s. And he started teaching a dietary law, if you will. He taught what foods you should eat and what foods you should stay away from, what foods you should store in your homes. He said to us that no meat is good for us, but if we were going to eat meat, certainly pork was prohibited. But if we were going to eat meat, that it needed to be raised under certain conditions. And he talked about fasting, the need to fast at least 3 days a month, as well as during the month of Ramadan, which is a holy month of fasting observed by the Muslims. And this teaching of his has actually spread and has influenced many, many others, whether they give him credit or not. But he had to be perhaps the first to target our people, or at minimum one of the first. He was such an incredible, he was and is such an incredible leader that he brought to us not only spiritual wisdom, but he brought to us practical guidance. So he gave us wisdom, but then he showed us how to use that wisdom on a daily basis to protect our lives and our health. He talked about the need for pure water back then. You're talking about the 50s, the 60s, the 70s. He talked about the impurities in the food. He talked about poisons in the water and so many things that people are saying today, that they're recognizing today, that people are admitting today, really bear witness to the supreme wisdom that this man, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, gave to us many years ago. He started teaching in 1930 up until 1975 when he departed. And for almost 40 years, in the absence of his teacher, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has continued that teaching and has continued the mission of resurrecting, reviving, and uplifting our people.
Yes, sir. Would you explain to people who are perhaps younger about the Nation of Islam, the Muslim belief, and the Quran?
Spend
about 5 minutes on that, because I know it's a lot you probably want to talk about, but could you let younger people know something about
one, I would say. You can find an incredible amount of information about the Nation of Islam at NOI.org. That's NOI, as in Nation of Islam, but it's the initials, NOI.org. And you can also find, similarly, a great deal of information at finalcall.com. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad began teaching in Detroit. He met a man that we call the great Mahdi, or the self-guided one, that the world, the Muslim world is expecting, as well as the Christians, this powerful one that comes at the end of the present world or the end of the evil civilization that is dominating the earth. So we believe in the day of judgment, but we do not believe that it is a day in which the earth itself will be destroyed, because the earth itself has never disobeyed Almighty God. It has been this rebellious one who has ruled the earth for the last 6,000 years that we believe we are rightly classified in labeling as the devil, the opposer, the deceiver, the liar, the murderer. We are justified in saying the one who most fits that description in the Bible are the Caucasian people, and it is evidenced by their way of rule and destruction of the darker nations of the earth, as well as their inability to get along in peace with one another. So this man, Master Farid Muhammad, taught the Honorable Elijah Muhammad for 3.5 years in Detroit. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad started teaching, and cardinal things that he taught were love for self, respect for self, and a fundamental knowledge of self and God, and a knowledge of the time, and a knowledge of the enemy of self. He was a great man who only went to the fourth grade of education, yet he taught the man Malcolm Little, who became Malcolm X. He taught the man Cassius Clay.
I hate to interrupt you, but I know Mr. Clashes Case, Mr. Muhammad Ali, Mr. Kevin Thornborn taught me this, and I've been doing research on my own. Mr. Malcolm Little is Mr. Malcolm X. Now, the X means in the Nation of Israel. I know it's no longer, I know that it means that they're not taking the slave name. I already know what X means, but would you explain?
Sure. We know that historically, black people in America were brought here, our ancestors, and they were made slaves. We know that historically, the names that we carry are names that come from our former slave masters, so we don't have our original names. We don't have our original language. Most of us cannot say where we came from, and we are not connected with our family in the motherland. So when you come into the Nation of Islam, you are accepting your own, and you are now becoming part of your own nation. And with that, you are rejecting the fact that you are owned by the Caucasian people. And while we respect their laws and we respect authority and we obey laws that do not conflict with our religion, we reject this idea of ownership. So we don't want the name that is associated with our former slave master. We don't want the name that ties us to Caucasian people as their property. And so when Malcolm Little came into the Nation of Islam, he was given... He kept his first name, Malcolm. He was given an X, so he was Malcolm. X signifies that we don't know who our ancestors are, so we don't know our last names. It also symbolizes excommunicating ourselves from the history of slave master and their descendants. It is also symbolic of the fact that we are rejecting, we are Xing out our old way of thinking, our old way of life, our old way of acting as a Negro without the knowledge of self, without the knowledge of the time, and without the knowledge of God. So the X symbolizes us coming out of the world of our former slave masters
and asking that God himself give us a name from him. And we write that in what is called a Savior's letter that every member of the Nation of Islam must submit in order to gain entry.
Okay. Right, that's my understanding also. So you were talking about Mr. Malcolm X. What would you like to say about Mr. Malcolm X? I mean, I know he did depart from the Nation of Islam, but that's about all I know about anything bad or negative concerning the Nation of Islam and Mr. Malcolm X.
Well, Malcolm X was, of course, the preeminent student of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And he was a former hustler. He was a former criminal. He had dropped out of school when he expressed to his teacher that he would like to be a lawyer. And his teacher told him, no, that carpentry would be a better career because her people would not hire him as a black lawyer, and black people would not trust him. And so that encounter turned Malcolm off to the institution of school, which really represented the poisonous idea of white supremacy. And so Malcolm did like many of us do. We take to the streets and we find a way to support ourselves. Most often we get involved in criminality. So Malcolm was involved in criminality. He was eventually caught, and he was jailed. While he was in jail, his brothers came to visit him, his blood brothers, and they had accepted Islam and come into the Nation of Islam. And so they spread the teaching to Malcolm, and Malcolm accepted. And he began to learn, and he began to study, starting with the dictionary to understand the meaning, the power of words and ideas. Bonded with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and when he came out of prison, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad continued to teach him, and Malcolm became an incredible speaker, an incredible analyst, an incredible teacher. Because as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, who was mentored by Malcolm X, often, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught Malcolm to think outside of the box of Western education, outside of the box of Western thought, outside of the box of Western analysis. So holding on to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Malcolm was able to defeat scholars and continue to work for the rise of our people, and he remains recognized as a great teacher to this day. I was a great fan of Malcolm X growing up. I read his speeches. I read books about him. I had a poster of him in my bedroom. And at the point in my life that I was looking for a place to go to get involved in saving the lives of black people, I ended up in the same place that gave birth to Malcolm X, and that place is the Nation of Islam.
Okay. So, okay, now, the Million Man March, the anniversary of the Million Man March, Justice Israel, would you like to talk about that and what part you played in that?
Yes, ma'am. Well, we know that last October, on October 10th, 2015, there was the 20th anniversary of the Million Man March. The initial march occurred October 16th, 1995, in Washington, D.C. 20 years later, and the theme of that march was atonement, reconciliation, and responsibility. 20 years later, the cry was justice or else, and it drew, according to estimates, between 800 to 850,000 and 1.1 million people. The march was planned in a few months. There were no great corporate sponsors. There were no great huge political supporters. There were not even great supporters from the huge, huge churches. But it was brothers and sisters, young people in particular, activists in particular, and strong pastors of independent churches and congregations who supported the idea that the time had come for us to be murdered, slaughtered in the street. The time had come for us to be disrespected and disregarded. And so the 20th anniversary was an opportunity to make a statement to the federal government that we must have justice. So the march was incredibly successful. I had the honor of touring with Minister Farrakhan as he went from city to city promoting the march and recruiting those who would support the march. And it was really incredible to see him working and to write about that and to be able to cover that and to present that event and what led up to it in an accurate sense to our people, because we know that the media has a long history of distorting black leaders in a particularly vitriolic and false representation of the minister is given if you look through the lens of the Western media. So we were glad to be able to present him as he is, and we were glad to be able to stand and fight for justice for our people.
Okay. I just would like to say something. Mr. Richard Muhammad, you said it's time for us to be slaughtered. I'm going to be honest, and this may, I'm not trying to disrespect the Nation of Islam, but in my life and for what I know and understand, and I'm not really educated, but I don't consider myself dumb either. They've always killed black people, men and women. It never stopped. To me, that's my understanding. From my world, this is what I'm seeing. The people I talk to, and I do travel a little. Not financially able to travel a lot, but I have traveled. And they've been doing this. They never stopped killing black men and women. I'm not talking about taking drugs on them or sending them to prison. I'm talking about murder, which sending people to prison is another form of murder, but I understand there has to be justice. There has to be rules. There has to be laws. There have to be. I'm sorry. Forgive me for saying has. There has to have. Getting a little upset. I'm sorry. But I just want to say they've always did this. But because of social media and the smartphones and the video recording, the world is the same size, but yet we're closer. You get news quicker because of the internet and the smartphones and the cameras that record. It never stopped, especially among poor blacks in the urban areas and in the country rural areas, okay? I don't know if you're going to agree with that or not, sir.
No, I think they've been murdering us, sister, from before the time that they brought us here.
Yes, sir.
So the
yes,
fact
sir.
That, as a matter of fact, it is their slaughter of us that brought God himself out to come to our defense and to claim us as his people. And there are scriptures in the Bible that talk about the people of God, the seed of Abraham, that were going to a strange land under a strange people. And these people in this strange land would afflict the children of Abraham. And the seed of Abraham would serve these people for 400 years. And after that time, God himself would come. And he would deliver the seed of Abraham, and he would punish the people that Abraham's descendants had been in bondage to. We believe that if you search the annals of history, you will find no people more fitting the description of the children of Abraham than the black man and woman of America. We have been in this country since 1555, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches, and we were brought here on a ship named Jesus. So they've always murdered us. They've always killed us, but there comes a time when God himself said that their time of being able to kill us and get away with it is over. So since we are living in that time, then it is incumbent upon us to make that statement to our enemies and to the world. That is no longer time for us to be slaughtered. It's no longer time for us to be slaves. It's no longer time for us to be under the foot of our enemy. Those days are over. And that's not just a message for our enemies, but it is a message that we have to spread to one another so we as a people understand that this is the time that we should stand. This is the time that we should not be afraid. That this is the time that we should step forward and claim our freedom. That we should stand for justice and we should stand for equality. We are not the people of yesterday. And so you see the young people today, fierce, angry, warriors, ready now for a total and complete change. So the demonstration, the gathering in Washington for justice or else, was another sign and another declaration that this is the day that we are living in. And how did Allah, God, what do scriptures say that God would do to these evil ones that have afflicted his people? He says that he would destroy them. He would destroy them through pestilence. He would destroy them through the forces of nature. And so you just saw recently flooding in Houston. You've had a huge drought on the West Coast in California. You've had unusual rain, unusual snow, unusual heat. We look around, and yesterday in Chicago, it was about 70 degrees. Today, it's about 50. We say all of these things that are being done, all of these assaults on America's physical environment as well as her psychological profile are the work of Almighty God, Allah himself, because this is the day that we ought to be delivered.
Okay, yes, sir. The book, the Quran, for the younger people who listen to this show and who are not familiar with the Quran, I'm sure I know what the Quran is. I understand what it is, but could you explain what the Quran is? In the Muslim faith. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Certainly. The Holy Quran is a book of scripture for Muslims. And this was the divine revelation from Almighty God that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad of Arabia 1,400 years ago. And at times, circumstances would arrive and the Prophet would recite these beautiful verses. And over time, these verses were compiled, they were written down. They were written in Arabic, so the Holy Quran is translated into many languages. But generally you have, for example, I have a Holy Quran that has the Arabic on one side and English on the other. And so the Holy Quran is part of the divine writing of scripture, and it is a very beautiful book written in very poetic language. And it says that it tells the stories of servants of God, some we know, some we have never heard of. And it is a book of instruction, a book of guidance, a book of law, a book of conduct, a book that is designed to guide the human being, and a book that is designed to correct things that were done as the enemy tampered with the Bible and gave it to us and gave it to the world, even though there's divine truth in it. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches that truth must be reinterpreted. But the Holy Quran comes to correct those misinterpretations. It comes to give us the stories of the great servants of God, and it comes as a book in which we can find great wisdom, great comfort. So I would encourage your listeners to learn more about the Quran and to read it. It's a very beautiful book.
All right. Okay. It's a beautiful book. You call it the Holy Quran. Okay.
The Holy Quran, meaning that which is pure and undiluted.
That book is for now. Understand what you're saying about not being afraid. This is not the time. This is the time where they can kill us no longer. The criminal justice system. I know, like I said, I understand there has to be laws, there has to be rules. If I'm wrong in this, then please tell me. From what my research is seeing and the gentlemen and women that have been on my show, like the vice president of the NAACP in Ferguson, Missouri, which I know the final call, I believe, is there too, sir. Am I correct? Michael,
I'm sorry.
What
time I couldn't understand what you were saying.
Correct me if I am wrong. But according to my research and the people who have been on my show, the criminal justice system is another way to segregate and imprison black people. I know that you're saying there's no reason to be afraid anymore. They can't kill us or slaughter us any longer. But the criminal justice system has a lot of black people there, men and women. I did three or four interviews when I could with the family of Ms. Daniel Mance. She got 3 life sentences plus 20 years from the state of Louisiana. I'm not trying to bring negative, bad thing. I'm just saying, and I'm in Florida. Do you agree with me? This is not the time to be afraid. This is the time to be encouraged. That's all wonderful. But what about the people who are still there?
Well,
who don't belong
the
there.
I
know you don't believe in putting bad things into your body. I don't either. I've never used illegal drugs. Okay, but it's getting a little ridiculous to me. But
well,
the laws are starting to change to a certain extent. I see things that seem like it may change. What do you have to say about this, Mr. Muhammad?
Well, he knows this, that I don't think I said that they are not able to kill us. They are able to take our lives if Almighty God permits it. But for every one of our lives that they take in this day, they will lose lives by the hand of Almighty God, Allah himself. There was a time when we were prophesied to be under their control. My point is that time is over. Well, why do we remain under their control? We remain under their control because we have not heeded or heard the message of the time and what we must do. And fundamental to our success is our unity and our understanding of how we should live our lives, our understanding of how we should relate to one another. Because very often, we are involved in encounters with the police department. Very often we are involved because there's something happening in our own community. There's something happening in our home. There's something happening on our block. There's something happening at our business. And very often there's this conflict, or there are these problems, or there's this crime and this negativity in our community. And that becomes a very convenient excuse for the enemy to come in and do to us whatever he feels. But if we hear the message of the time and understand it, then it becomes that incumbent that we come into unity with one another, that we reject the sins and the ugly habits and the self-hatred that has come to us from white people. And then we unite and do for ourselves those things that will make us progress and prosper. And we do for ourselves those things that will bring us into the favor of God
and hasten our rise and hasten the fall of the Caucasian people. So we have to reject their false promises. We have to reject their pacifying ways. And we have to understand that what is going to save us is a true and complete freedom. And as Minister Farrakhan and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad have said to us, we have to be totally separated from these people because they're disagreeable to live with in peace. We will never have freedom, justice, and equality if we believe that we are dependent on these people. So our unity, our rejection of their way of life, our rejection of their behavior, our rejection of their miseducation, our rejection of the self-hatred and the pathologies that we have come up under because of oppression will bring us the freedom that we need. And we have to have a willingness to stand up now and not be afraid. But we have to stand up, and we have to stand up against the enemy, and we have to stand up to make our own communities decent places to live. That means that when we rise into positions of leadership, we have to be willing and able and ready to live and die for the interests of our people, not just for a few dollars or some type of advantage, not to have a nice home, not to have a vacation, but we have to serve our people because we understand that this is the day and the time for us to be independent people. And those are the things that we must do if we want to truly be free. And with this, our freedom is absolutely going to happen. Nothing can stop it. You look at the confusion in America today. You look at the discord in America today. You look at the state of race relations in America today. You look at the disorder in the society. You look at the economic problems, the social problems, the spiritual problems. And it's clear that this country cannot even save itself. So we would be wise to save ourselves.
All right. That makes plenty of sense. And that's good news. And that's still good news, you know. All right. So you said reject evil, basically. It's not understanding what you're saying. You were talking about morals and spirituality, resurrection, the Eden. I just had someone send me a question. So I don't get this a whole lot. Most people just go into the archives, and you have a string of listeners, too, people who have called in to listen to you. I didn't say anything about taking calls, so I'm not going to do that because you're probably not prepared for that. Most of them won't say anything either, usually, when they call in, they're calling in to listen. When you talk about the Quran, Muslim, the Nation of Islam, now, that has nothing to do with ISIS, or the very been deceased Bin Laden. That has absolutely you're not really connected. You're not connected to that. The Nation of Islam is not. I don't. Would you speak on this?
We have no connection with ISIS or any other groups. As a
matter of fact, that is a lie that the media has circulated. It's not true. That's what I'm saying. That's what I want.
Well, all it takes is a little research, and just a little research will show. These groups, ISIS and Al Qaeda, are the bastard children of the activity of the U.S. government. The Nation of Islam has no history of violence. Minister Farrakhan has said repeatedly that he rejects any form of violence for political means. We are taught as Muslims we are not to carry any weapons. We are forbidden to be aggressors. We are forbidden to kill anyone that Allah has not ordered to be killed, and we are forbidden to in any way treat people other than the way that we want to be treated. What we reserve, however, is the right to self-defense. So we don't believe
that we should let others beat us, brutalize us, murder us, and kill us. But what we believe is Almighty God, Allah, has given us life. It is a gift to us, and it must be protected. So we are those who believe in fighting with those who fight with us, but never being the aggressor. I'm sorry, sister, I think I'm going to have time for one more question, but then I'm going to have to
Okay, I hope I did not offend you in any way either.
No, it has nothing to do with that. I've just got to get to some editing, and I've had 5 or 6 people call me that I have to get back.
Okay, all right. Well, you're welcome to come back, Mr. Richard Muhammad, anytime on the Show Talk with Angela Butler. Could you go give out those URLs again, please?
Sure. You can, first of all, sister, again, thank you very much for having me on your show. I appreciate it. I appreciated the opportunity to dialogue with you and your listeners. And you can get more information at finalcall.com. You can follow Minister Farrakhan on @Farrakhan on Twitter. And you can find him on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook as well, Richard B. Muhammad. And you can follow me on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @RMFinalCall. You can also follow the Final Call newspaper on Twitter as well. But thank you so much for having us. It's been a joy. We just got to get to some other work tonight. But sister, thank you so much, and may Allah bless you and your listeners. And we're so honored and gratified to have had this opportunity to bear witness to the truth. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be unto you.
Thank you, Mr. Richard Muhammad. Thank you. Thank you very much for coming on Show Talk. It was an honor to have you on the show.
All right. Thank you.
Yes, sir. All right, everyone. You were listening to Mr. Richard Muhammad. He is the editor-in-chief of the Final Call paper. He also has a communication company, Straight Words Communications. He has 20 years experience, from my understanding, and he is part of the Nation of Islam, which is great. You know, it's wonderful having Mr. Muhammad on my show. He talked about eating and about the Holy Quran, hope I pronounced it right. And he also talked about the end, not the end of the world, but the end of the murders, he said, because America is in a turmoil, is in a mess, basically. Their economy, everything's gone chaotic, wrong here in the United States. And he said that's the end. They can no longer kill us. They can no longer abuse us like that. This is the end of that. And it's very encouraging. That's great news, reassuring. So I thank you for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. If anyone would like to listen to this show, you can go to the archives. I'll find it on Google. I go to my Facebook page, my Twitter, my LinkedIn, my Google Share, Plus, Pinterest, and wherever else I've posted this. It's probably about 15 different places. But you can find the URL link on Blog Talk also. So thank you all for listening to Show Talk with Angela Butler. Everyone, have a good night and be safe and blessed.